Well, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of a live stream Bible study. Thank you for being here this afternoon. We are going to jump into the passage today. I hope that everything is going well with you, and hoping that you are continuing to remain focused on God's Word each day as you read it and study it and allow it to apply to your own life. This is the reason why we do these Bible studies, just for that purpose, so that any time of the day is a good time to get into the Word if you can do it. And we are going to jump into a passage that I think is very, very important, probably of all the Bible studies that we've done. This is one where we talk about the rubber meeting the road, and it has to do with faith and works. It's in the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And we need to understand that believers or anyone who expresses faith must always put that faith into motion or put it into action, because that's when it has its greatest value within the body of Christ and the entire world for that matter. Those acts of charity, those things that are being done on behalf of Jesus, are what are most important for all of us. So we will go ahead and pray, and we're going to take a look at this. And I pray that as we go through this passage, and even for myself as I go over it myself, just looking at the information being provided, that I remain sensitive to the Spirit as far as what He would have me to do. And that's what I've always been praying for, and I pray that that same thing applies to you as well. Let's look to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time that we set aside right now to just allow ourselves to hear you speak to us through the power of the Spirit, through your words. And I pray, Lord, that those words and those things that are being spoken to us are words of encouragement. And there are words that help us to recognize the importance of serving you in any way, shape, or form that we can. We thank you, Lord, for the importance of this passage, this study about faith and works. And I thank you again for all that you're doing for us in our lives as we move through and move back to a place where we get back to a semblance of normalcy. But as we do that, Lord, that we are sensitive to what you would have us to do to help others along who may not be quite ready for that. I pray, Lord, that you help us along in this matter, and I just give you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, turn your Bibles and electronic devices to the book of James, chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 14 through 26, and we're going to put some detail into it, where we're looking at the passages individually and also doing some cross-referencing with other comments to go with it, as we always do in Bible study. This particular section of passage is the faith and works section in the book of James. Remember, the book of James was written directly to Jewish Christians who were Jewish believers in Christ, and they were Christians. And so the actions that are being mentioned here are things that are very important for all of us when we recognize what we're doing on behalf of Jesus Christ in the world today. Let's start with verse 14. I'm going to be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The passages flow pretty nicely, but with that, we'll go over the entire passage, and then we'll come back through it once again. Starting at James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? Verse 15. If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. Verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith from my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe, and they shudder. Verse 20. Foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Verse 22. You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works, faith was perfected. So the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Verse 25, and in the same way wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Okay, that is the passage of James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. That was, again, the Holman Christian Standard Bible version. And we're going to now go back to the top, take a look at verse 14 once again, and let's take a look at it with a little bit more detail. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can his faith save him? Now, this can be a very controversial topic, and it doesn't really have to be, but let's look at it for what it is. When someone makes a statement claiming to have faith, we have to understand something. Faith is something that is a very personal thing. It's something that is internalized. It has more to do with what you believe as far as what your relationship is with the Lord, or whatever your faith is, frankly, whether it's faith as far as being a Christian, or if it's a Buddhist or any other type of religion for that matter. Faith is a component of all of those in some way, shape, or form. However, we need to make sure that what we are talking about here is legitimate faith that comes through the relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why we're having this whole discussion about faith and works, because you can say all you want that you have faith, but unless it's demonstrated in some way, shape, or form, it kind of falls flat. It doesn't really have any meaning to it. Many people come up with a statement where they are intellectually ascending because they have a certain level of faith, and because they've been doing it for a while, that perhaps there are different levels of that they're achieving that will show some sort of a growth in this faith thing. Well, it's really not being very honest about what faith really is. You know, faith, we're challenged often when it comes to matters of faith. There are times when we have a great deal of faith, and there are times when we have very little faith to no faith whatsoever. That's the nature of a person who lives in this world. It's a fleshly being like myself, where faith is going to basically be a situation where we have to truly rely on the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are times when we just don't do that very well. And so we want to make sure that we're looking at faith correctly here, and making sure that we're not looking at it in such a way where the more faith that you demonstrate at certain periods of time, the more you are ascending to a higher plane or something like that. That is not at all what this is about, and I think that that's important for us to recognize. When Christ teaches us about faith, all he asks us to do is to have this mustard seed of faith. And what's a mustard seed? It's the smallest thing that you can imagine physically in comparison. He just wants us to trust him just a little bit sometimes, and that is a demonstration of faith. And we need to understand that this is an ongoing process throughout life. It's not something that you're going to have nailed down. It's not going to be something that you're going to be very good at over time, unless the Spirit is helping you to do things such as resist old sin, ways that you've sinned in the past, the types of things that you used to do. But there's always going to be something new for you to overcome and achieve that the Spirit will have to help you with. So we need to understand that just by saying you have faith or claiming you have faith, that is still what we would call incomplete. Doesn't mean that it's not important. It is important, because that's going to be the foundation for everything that you do as a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to have the faith to be able to do those things. But we always want to demonstrate ourselves to be more than just talkers, but people who act. You know, actions speak louder than words. You've heard that statement many times, and honestly, that is exactly what a believer has to do, that to have those actions that solidify and show the foundational faith that person has. True faith is going to do what? Transform our conduct. Our conduct, the things that we do, our behaviors, the way we behaved before we became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, should be markedly different than the way we are behaving today. And I would trust that your conduct is going to reflect that faith. And if your conduct doesn't change, then we need to go back and examine what that faith is that you have. Is it faith in yourself, or is it faith in Jesus Christ? We have to understand, faith can be misdirected and or directed in places where the focus is not on Jesus Christ. That's why we have to talk this thing through and examine it for what it truly is. And a lot of people just have that faith in themselves. And while there's nothing wrong with having faith in themselves, we don't want to carry to the point where it's you're only relying upon yourself to do things and not relying upon Jesus Christ. That's the takeaway that I have from that particular passage. Can your faith save you if you have faith but you don't have works? It's an open question for discussion, isn't it? Let's go to verse 15 in James chapter 2. If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, in verse 16, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, eat, and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? Well, that's exactly right. What good is that? What is the purpose of telling somebody who you know is without clothing, who doesn't have food, and you just wave them off and say, hey, have a great day? Well, if you know that they have a need for food or clothing, and you have food and clothing that you can spare and give to them, why wouldn't you do that? Because we need to understand something. If you are truly locked in with faith, and you are truly locked in with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord will be speaking to you through the Spirit at that moment to say, you know, well, why don't you give them some of your clothing? Why don't you, you know, give them some of your food? Why don't you send them off with something so that they don't have a want for anything like that, at least for that time being? And see, that's where faith comes in too. If you have faith and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Spirit is indwelling within you, guess what? The Spirit's going to speak to you at those moments when you can help someone. But if you are just blowing somebody off, or if you're not really paying attention to them and or paying attention to what the Spirit is saying to you, that's not a very good testimony for Christ. And I think that that's where we have to leave it as well, too. It's not even so much about our lack of actions in that situation. It's not a good testimony for Christ, because we need to understand that Christ has told us that we need to love one another, love everyone, and make sure that we are being very generous, if we can be, in those certain situations. One thing that I want to look at here in a passage related to verse 15, go to Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. This is exactly what Jesus was speaking of when it comes to showing yourself to be worthy as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ by doing things when you observe someone who is in want or in need, that you're there to step in and help out. If not you, then who? And I think that's what we have to always get back to. Let's look at what it says again in Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. And this is Jesus speaking because he is giving, frankly, a testimony to people about individuals who are asking questions about what it is to be a believer and what to look forward to. And one of the things that Jesus is going to do is he's going to be judging individuals based upon how they help people, have helped people throughout their lifetime. It says in verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. These are the things that we're going to be pretty much judged upon when we go face to face with our Lord and Savior. And he's going to remark, all these things that we should have done or could have done, I wouldn't look forward to a meeting like that. That's something we have to pay attention to. And understand that if your heart's in the right place and if you're doing these things for the Lord, these are going to be very natural inclinations for you. You're going to want to be generous with others and help people along where they need it. Be charitable where you can be. Going and seeing people who are in prison, those are things too that we need to pay attention to, because there are always going to be, Jesus says, there's always going to be the poor amongst us. So when he tells us something like that, that's really an action where We don't need to be outraged about why is there always going to be poor people among us. The reality is that there are people who at one time had money and then they don't have it anymore. And that's just what happens in many people, that people will have a bunch and then they'll lose it all. Or there'll be people who just never really accumulated a whole lot and they are still need of help in some way, shape, or form. That's a sidebar. The sidebar here, the most important thing here for us to pay attention to is what are you doing when you run into a situation like this and how are you responding to it? And that's what we need to look at. Excuse me. So that's what we want to take away from that particular passage, Matthew 25, verses 35 and 36. Now go back to verse 16 again. And one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you don't give them what the body needs. What good is it? Well, is it good at all? Does it have anything to help that individual along? I'm going to have us take a quick peek at 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And this is exactly the same thing that was being mentioned at the top here about our words and our actions should match up. If we say we have faith and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we believe in helping one another, loving one another in the different ways that are demonstrated in Scripture, then that is what we need to be doing. And John, 1 John, mentions this very clearly here in verses chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him. That's a really key phrase there. Closes his heart against him. How does God's love abide in him? It doesn't. Verse 18, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And that's deed being the different things that we do to support this love that we profess, this love that we say that we have. So these are things that we need to make sure that we are doing. Two very demonstrable points here about how we need to make sure that our faith and our words are demonstrated in our actions, and they just don't sit idly by somewhere where the words just fall to the floor and nothing happens. Verse 17, back in James chapter 2, in the same way faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by ourselves, dead by itself. We cannot earn our salvation by serving and obeying God. We don't earn it in that manner at all. The actions, in fact, do show our commitment for God and to God is real. So if we're our heart, this is a heart matter, and that's all it is, because we may have a great amount of things that we have acquired or accumulated, but if our heart is not in the right place, guess what? It's going to be very hard for you to part with those things because Satan has deluded you into the position where you are just going to hang on to those things and there's no need for you to part with them in any way, shape, or form. When we talk about the young man, the young ruler who went up to Jesus and he had all kinds of things that Jesus had challenged him with, that he needed to sell those things, give them and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. That was the one stumbling block for that rich young ruler, that he could not part with those things because that was, even though he said he was being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ, he truly wasn't being as obedient as he could be. See, we have to understand that that's what that passage is representing here. If there is a stumbling block somewhere in your life that is keeping you from having complete devotion and heartfelt desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to pray to God, and let's even go further. Get on your knees about it. Get on the floor in front of him about it and ask for his forgiveness and ask for him to release that burden in your life, because that's a bondage. That's a bondage that you are dealing with where you are just not able to move forward because of the bondage that you are holding. Your heart is not in the right place when it comes to your love relationship with Jesus Christ and your love relationship with others. So let's keep that in mind. doesn't mean that you should just give away everything you have and be a pauper. People will try to take statements like what I just made and take them completely off onto another planet, and that's not at all what is being said here. It is you are being given a great deal if you have it for the purpose of course, enjoyment, but at the same time, you're also being challenged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you need all of it? Not necessarily. You may need to be able to give some of that away to someone who is in need, some very important charity that is in need. And those are things that you do on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand something. That is really what this is all about, your heart. It's a heart matter as far as where you go with this. Deeds of loving, however, and service are not a substitute for or a verification of our faith in Christ, because guess what? Anybody, whether you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, can give stuff to somebody or give money or give whatever. It comes down to just being an impactful part of your service for Christ. And we need to understand that as well, too. Galatians 5:6 is a good example to look at here. Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 6. And I think it's important for us to understand about this thing that was circumcision back at that time, that Timothy had to have, and all the others who were not Jews originally. They were grafted in, of course, by their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. But ultimately, it was a symbol of being a part of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's being pointed out here in the passage, but for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. It's symbolic, but only faith working through love is what's most important here. And that faith working through love has to do with a relationship with Jesus Christ, where he is truly teaching you through the process as you work through your faith, you serve others, you give to others according to how you're prompted to give, and you're truly doing so because the heart compels you to do so. That's very important for you to see here. It's not so much the actions per se or just the gestures, but it is about making sure that you are still being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding what that really represents. It's about the expression of love through charity, giving through charity. Okay, so we use those first four verses 14 through 17, to talk about the importance of faith and works being aligned as far as your desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just talking about faith, but acting in your faith. Now let's look at verse 18, back to James chapter 2. But if someone will say, you have faith and I have works, show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith from my works. So that's a statement that's being made. At first glance, this verse, this passage may seem to contradict Romans 3:28, but let's take a look at Romans 3:28 and see what it says, just as a comparative. And first of all, we're going to see that it's not a conflict at all. It's in line exactly with what Romans 3:28 is saying. And I wanted to make sure that you were aware of that, because if you read different passages, we all need to understand, first of all, that all these passages, all these statements are all in alignment as far as a faithful relationship with Jesus Christ and all the actions that must take place as you go do those things. Romans 3:28 says, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. But that doesn't mean that these actions still shouldn't take place. If you'd look at this passage even deeper, it shows that it's true that our good deeds can never earn salvation, and we've never really mentioned that it does. The only reason why we have salvation is because of God's grace. Our works are inadequate when it comes to what Christ has done for us on the cross. So it comes right down to just believing in him, and that's where we have salvation. So we need to make sure we don't mix those when we talk about that. But we need to always understand that the good deeds that we do, the things that we do to serve people, it always results in demonstrating a changed life from you and how it impacts others very positively as well too. You can sit at home all day long and not go outside and talk about how big your faith is, but you're only talking to yourself and the Lord, and you're not dealing with anybody else in the public. No one's going to know about your faith unless you get out there and do something to reflect that and to show that. So we need to understand that we want to make sure that people understand that, you, number one, you are not going to be saved because you're a good person. You're not going to be saved because you do good deeds. You're not going to be saved because you've given a ton of money to charity. You're going to be saved because you have a belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because he died on the cross for your sins. And he does that because of his grace. It's not your works. So we don't ever want to confuse those. We want to make sure that we are justified by faith, but we're going to get into a little bit more deeper about where that justification comes from and where it is merited for us to continue to make sure that our actions always speak louder than our words. Okay, so James is speaking against all those who are confusing mere intellectual assent, as we referenced it earlier, with true faith. And the point that's being made as we get further down into the passage is that, hey, you know, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly a start, but believing in him as your Savior is the most important thing you can do. There are people who believe in Jesus. The demons know who Jesus is. That's what is mentioned here, coming up in verse 19. And they, you know, even demons understand who he is, but they don't necessarily obey him or agree with him or live or do things that are, you know, going to be helpful for him. So just believing is not enough for those of us who have been at this thing for a while now. For those of us who have been involved with churches or been involved with different fellowships, we need to understand that there is a progression in our faith that does take place as we continue to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you should be progressing. You should be moving forward. Let's take a look at another passage related to verse 18 in James chapter 2. Go to Matthew 7, and let's look at verses 16 and 17. And once again, this is all about recognition and understanding something. We need people who are believers in Christ to not just say they believe, but do what's necessary to show it and reflect it to others. And why is that important? Because that's a testimony that's being done when you show the love of Christ to other individuals. It's a testimony to the person who is the recipient of your love and concern and care, and for all others who are either witnessing passively or actively in the situation. If they know that, they see the love of Christ is associated with your action, that's a testimony, and that's why these things need to be made public. These things need to be out there sometimes. There are going to be times where you're going to want to do something nice for somebody, but you don't want your name mentioned. And that's fine. That's fine, because that deserves its own place. You don't want to embarrass somebody. You don't want someone to recognize that you're doing something for them. It may be an anonymous gift. That's fine too. But know that the anonymous gift or whatever it is that you provide will still be that testimony before the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to understand here. That's a very important thing to keep in mind here. Matthew 7, verses 16 and 17 says, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." Now, why is this important when we talk about the word fruit? When we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, these are all things that are fruits. They're described as fruits. They are things that are demonstrable based upon your actions. That's what people need to see in your life. And so these fruits that are being bared, a healthy tree, a person who has a healthy relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to bear healthy fruit. That's what we're looking at here. That's what we're referring to. Very important for us to see that. Okay, back to verse chapter 2, verse 19, since we did cover this earlier. You believe that God is one, you do well, but the demons also believe and they shudder. And that's something that's very important for us to see. This goes back to having a foundational relationship with Jesus Christ. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, you don't have to turn to that. I'm just going to read it real quick, but you're going to see something here in this passage that's going to be very interesting. Because when Jesus spoke, often he spoke based upon what was already written in Scripture from the Old Testament. It wasn't called the Old Testament back then. It was the only Testament at that point. But we call it the Old Testament. But look at what it says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And I'll throw in verse 6, and these words I command you today shall be on your heart. Well, we also know that that same thing was mentioned in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, about what are the greatest commandments under the law. And this one was the first one, the one mentioned here in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 5. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And I challenge you and promise you that if you are making every effort to love the Lord in this manner, the Spirit is going to speak very freely and clearly to you about the things that you should be doing in life as matters of charity or matters of helping other people. It will be very clear, but it starts with your love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do well to do just go more than believing in God, but believing and loving God with all our heart, soul, and strength is what we really need to be doing when it comes to really growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to James chapter 2. Look at verse 20. Now, James, I understand here, is challenging people with this whole thing about faith and works. And the challenge is a great challenge because we need more people in the faith that will challenge people about what they say they're going to do, about how they're going to go about it. And they do it in a loving way. We're not beating up anybody about anything. Something that I mentioned to my wife earlier today is very important for all of us to do is to encourage one another. And you encourage people, frankly, sometimes when they don't deserve encouragement. But you encourage people to make sure that they're doing better and doing as well as they can, affirming those people or affirming those individuals to do what's good and to do what's right. The assumption is going to be made that not everyone is going to be a believer that you talk to, but you still want to encourage them. You still want to encourage them. Even if you're finding an opportunity or there is an opportunity where you're actually challenging someone to do better, find a way, even in the midst of that conversation, and perhaps the Spirit can give you those words, to encourage that person to do better. Because I don't care what anybody says, you know, your words, if you are encouraging someone, even in the midst of correction, are going to go a long way. People tend to dismiss those who try to correct them, but basically don't have very good or promising words that come with that. And we need to always encourage someone. So always keep that in mind as we're talking to people. Now, James just kind of blows it right out here and says, foolish man, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Well, that's a challenge to that person who is going to be foolish and say, well, I don't need to worry about this thing. Well, yeah, you do. You need to pay attention to it. And that's what's being said here. And now James gives us two great examples in scriptures about what it means to do something and demonstrate faith and what the response is that God will show for those actions. Go back to verse 21 now in James chapter 2. Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Verse 22, you see that faith was active together with his works. And by works, faith was perfected. Remember that. Faith is perfected when you stand behind your faith and do something that reflects your faith. That's when true faith is perfected. In other words, it's just words when you just say it, but now when it comes time for you to act upon it, it's your actions that demonstrate the importance of your faith, and it's been perfected, and it's perfected in the eyes of the Lord. That's what we need to look at here. It's been perfected where God will recognize it, because it is something that shows a demonstration of true faith. It's a heart matter that's coming to the forefront. It's being put right in front of you. So that's what we need to see here. And so verse 23 says, so the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And that's this passage that comes from Genesis 15:6, because that's where Abraham was believed. He believed in God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. And how righteousness in God's eyes means that you truly do have a great relationship with him. And at the end of verse 23, it says, and he was called God's friend, because God saw Abraham's heart. Was Abraham perfect? Absolutely not. Abraham wasn't even a Jew. He was grafted in. He was grafted in such a manner that he became a member of the family of God because of his faith, and he believed in God, and it was credited to him for righteousness. So verse 24, back to James 2, says, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Because ultimately, God is the judge. He is the one who is going to determine your level of faith based upon what you do, your level of obedience, how you go about it, how you go about your actions, your matters of the heart. These are all things that God is going to see and know very clearly based upon your attitude, what your position is, what you think about. James said in this passage, verses 21 through 24, that Abraham was shown to be right with God. Shown to be right with God. Now, without getting into too much detail here, let's look at this logically. You know, we know that God chose Abraham. And he was Abram at the time. He chose Abram. Why did he choose Abram in the first place? He chose Abram because he knew the heart of Abram before Abram even recognized or had any knowledge or inkling that God was going to approach him about something like this. He knew about his heart. He knew that he was going to be the type of individual where God could have a relationship with him, and where Abraham would eventually have conversations with God. He was truly a friend of God. That's what God knew ahead of time. And this was also mentioned because of his belief in God. Take a quick look at Romans 4. It's a passage I wasn't going to look at, but I'm going to take a look at it because I think we need to see exactly what the scripture says and how it's reiterated again in a different area of scripture in the New Testament, not just back in Genesis 15. Romans 4, verse 1, what then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. And then I'll add, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. So we need to understand something, that the works are a demonstration of one's faith, but recognize that God knows the heart of the individual that he is dealing with. Do you think he knows your heart? Do you think he knows where you are right now when it comes to your faith? Do you think he knows that you are indeed a work in process? And I pray that we would all come to that same conclusion, because we are all works in process. No matter where we think we are, we probably need to do a little bit more to make sure that we are ready to, frankly, repent when we mess up, acknowledge when we mess up, and give that matter to the Lord. And say, Lord, forgive me, help me with this situation, and I thank you for greater understanding that you provide through the Spirit. to help with an individual situation or things that come up. Things come up all the time, don't they? And so we need to make sure that our heart is always in the right place when it comes to this. Because truly, you do want to be in a, such a relationship where God can call you a friend. That's what you always want to strive to do. So you're always sensitive to making sure that those things are taking place. James and Paul, in this passage in Romans 4:1, are not contradicting each other, but they're complementing each other. So we want to make sure that we always remember the works by themselves are not a justification for anything we do. The works have to have a foundation to it. It's our faith. So the works by themselves really are just, I won't say they're meaningless. They do mean something because we have to go to work every day, for example, and we get paid. We have to do work in order to earn our keep. We just can't sit around and not do anything because if there's no productivity, that's going to be an issue at any job we would have, right? So works are important in that aspect of it. But when it comes to your relationship with the Lord, it's much more important that your faith starts out where the works will follow it. And that is where you are perfecting not the works, but your faith. I hope you can see that. It's not trying to do any wordplay here or a word salad about this whole thing. But we want to make sure that it's very important for us to recognize that the true faith always represents good deeds. But it's not the deeds that justify us. The faith is what justifies us. So the faith brings us salvation. The act of obedience demonstrates that our faith is genuine. And so that's where we need to leave that. That's where that needs to go. So we always recognize that, yes, we have salvation if we trust in Christ, but the genuine faith is the demonstration of that thing that James is calling us to do here in this passage. So it's very important for us to see that. And let's take it a little bit further. James chapter 2, back to verse 25. Not going back to Genesis right now. Let's go to James 2, 25. Here's an even better example of this faith thing. And look at what it mentions. Verse 25, and in the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route? Now, why are we referring to Rahab the prostitute as being justified in this situation? Clearly, her actions as a prostitute were not justification for her. Clearly, those behaviors were not highly regarded by God. It was her way of making a living, frankly, but we know that there are different ways to make a living where you don't have to do that. But let's not miss the point here. We're talking about the individual and what their lifestyle was, but yet they were still justified by God. So when Israel's spies came to the city, this is back in Joshua chapter 2, she hid them and helped them escape. Now, how important was that? It was very important. In this way, she demonstrated faith in God's purpose for Israel. That was the whole thing. She recognized that God had a purpose. That's a belief in itself, that God had a purpose for the nation of Israel. And Rahab recognized that. And in fact, that's something that when she did that, she and her family were saved when the city was destroyed. She was able to be rescued and escape certain doom when that city was destroyed. And so because of that, if you go to Hebrews 11:31, Rahab is listed as one of the heroes of faith. That's referenced in Hebrews 11. And that's going to be a great study. I'd like to get into Hebrews and just go through that whole book and go get into that study because it's just a great study to get into. But it's fascinating to look at how God uses all different types of people to accomplish his purpose. Can we always remember that? Whether you're rich or poor, whether you are a saint or even a sinner, God in his sovereignty uses all people to accomplish his purpose. But Rahab in this particular instance was declared one of the heroes of faith, because she believed in the purpose of what God was trying to accomplish for Israel and its people. And so that in itself was a measure of faith. And the works, the actions of hiding the spies when they came to the city, and then allowing them to escape when they were, you know, to get out under cover of darkness, that was something that was very special, something that was very important for people to see that you're not far gone. If you think that you haven't lived the life that you should have lived up until now, if you think that you have in any way, shape, or form not done what you should have done in life, there is hope for you if you just have faith. There's hope for you if you just trust that Jesus is your Lord, that Jesus is the one who is going to help you to get from that place where you are to a new place, a place where your faith and your actions with it will be credited as righteousness. So please keep that in mind as we look at stories like this and we recognize how God has used many people. Now let's read verse 26 in James 2 to make sure we cover that. For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Very pleased to be able to say that this particular teaching probably will be one of the more meaningful teachings you'll have all year because of the nature of faith. We always wonder how much faith is necessary. And I think that sometimes it's overtaught. All you need is a little bit of faith. Just trust in the Lord enough to get you to the next place. And the Lord will help to teach you to have more faith as you need it and when the time is right. And I think that that's what we need to recognize when it comes to having a relationship with Jesus. It's not just a one-shot deal. He just doesn't come around and then disappear. He's always there for you if you call upon him. He's always available to you if you need him. And he helps you with this area called faith and gives you what you need when it comes to matters of the heart and making sure that you are living out this faith before other people. And that's what we need to recognize here. We need more opportunities for perfection of our faith through our service, through what we do for others. It's not about how much you're tithing in the church, although that certainly is important, and it is helpful to give money to the church. But these actions by themselves are not the actions of justification. It's your faith. It's where your faith is. We get caught up sometimes with a lot of rituals that are just not meaningful in God's eyes. It is much more important for us to start with faith. Start with your daily devotions. Start with your studies, where you're truly looking to the Lord Jesus Christ with your studies, by looking at his word, studying his word, reading his word, gaining greater knowledge as you pray about it and meditate over it. That's where it all starts. That's where your faith begins as well too. And from there, there's an outflowing or an outpouring of what we would hope to be love and encouragement and care for other people in your life, no matter where they're coming from or no matter what they're going through. It's a matter of the heart. I hope that you can see these things about faith without good deeds. Faith without works is dead. It's true. Faith has to be perfected through the actions that support it. So I want to be very careful. I'm making sure that I'm very clear about that. The works by themselves are much less significant. It's the faith behind them that makes them a winning combination. When you're having a good day, frankly, when you're serving the Lord and helping other people along as well too, people can see it. That's the takeaway of this passage. I hope that you can understand that. I hope that perhaps when there's an opportunity, if you want to replay this or look at this again when it's online, add some comments to it. Ask some questions, and we'll try to circle back and answer those questions for you, because that's what it's all about. If there are questions about certain aspects of faith and what it represents for you, we're here to answer those questions. That's what we're here. That's what it's all about here. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and look to the Lord and close out in prayer. Father, we just thank you once again for your teachings. Your teaching is about faith and works. And Lord, we know that faith is important and works has a role as well too. But it's only when faith is supplemented with the works that demonstrates that faith. It indeed is a testimony on your behalf. It is indeed an area of progress and growth for us as individuals. We thank you for that teaching and understanding. We thank you for the examples that we even read about with Abraham and Rahab. We thank you for that, those examples where no matter where you come from or where you're going, we trust, Lord, that you are going to continue to encourage us to live in such a way where we're not sinning against you, but in fact, we are trusting in you, relying upon your word, and that we are going forward and also representing that same love of Christ to other individuals as well, too, through our words and actions. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and what you continue to do. And we give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us today. A lot that was covered here. I hope that it was beneficial. I hope that you got a lot out of it. We need to make sure that our faith is not something where we're just saying we're growing and growing in faith and we're ascending to a different location or a different place, because that's not really a true view of what faith is. We do grow in our faith, no question about it, but it comes with maturity. And I think that that's what we always need to represent when we look at what growth in faith really is. It's a maturing in Christ. It's a maturing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind as we talk about faith and works and where your faith stands and where your heart stands. God bless you. You take care of yourself. You have yourself a wonderful, wonderful day. And we'll see you next time.